Deuteronomy 6. Take this off a minute. Move this over here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Lots said here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Mark chapter 12. Keep your finger there or in either one of these. Mark chapter 12. Though I have it on my phone, I like to turn to a real Bible. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 12, verse 34. Or actually prior to 34, let me just find out where. Okay, verse 28, Mark 12, 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. A lot said in just a few verses. You may be seated. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love, thank you, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. He just had a run-in with the Sadducees about the resurrection. And so this scribe had listened to the Lord answer them, and he liked how he answered them. And I don't know exactly what was in his mind where he had to ask the Lord, which is the first commandment of all? Maybe he just was so enjoying the fact that he answered so well and said some things that was just so good in how he answered, that he just wanted to kind of continue the goodness, because he did answer discreetly, not incorrectly. Jesus wasn't saying, well, you were being rude. He just said, your answer is prudent. You know, you're thinking about what you're saying. So he was liking his answer. And that's why he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Thank God for his word. I want to have a word of prayer before I continue with this, because there are things that can be seen in the Word of God if we can just be postured in the right mindset to hear them. And it's kind of like, you know, when you get older, sometimes you lose your hearing or lose part of it. I have. I mean, I can hear some high sounds, and then there's other sounds that are lower I can't hear. And sometimes Carolyn will say, man, those birds are loud. I'm like, I'm sure they are, but some of them I can't hear, and then other times I can hear them. There are things that we can hear if we can get the right frequency, if I can say it like that. things that we want to know, we want to understand, but maybe right now we don't. It's there to be heard. The sound is being sounded. And because we can't hear it, it doesn't mean that it's not there to be heard. We just have to find a way to be in the right place before God so that we can hear what he's saying. And sometimes that requires some humility. It requires some kind of, like Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. That phrase, he's actually saying, I'm putting out of my mind. I'm making an effort to forget and to not allow those things which are behind to affect my going forward. So in order for us to live for God, sometimes we have to forget some things. We have to go and do some work on allowing ourselves to let things go so that we can be free to walk with God, free to explore God, free to understand things about God, that if we don't do a little bit of letting go, we will never find it. Amen. So let's pray. God, I'm asking for just a few minutes of revelation and understanding. God, I'm asking you to keep me from trying to sound smart and help me to say something that God will unlock some doors and some keys and point people again, once again, to the truth that's in the Word of God that's not complicated to see. But if we can become babes, you reveal to babes, hallelujah, the good things of God. Help us in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So there's some things here that I want to point out, things that I've read them, and I know they're important, but when you talk about the subject of the Godhead, and you talk about who is God, how many gods are there, sometimes you miss parts of the verse because you're so focused on the other part of the verse. And we did read that this is the first commandment. So one of the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That is a decree. And sometimes we're focused on he's one God. But this is a commandment. The first commandment is he is one Lord. And we can later read in Deuteronomy 6 that we are to have no other gods before him, because he's a jealous one, Lord. So not only is he one because that's what he is, but that topic is relationable to us, or relational, however you use the word. In other words, it deals with the fact that we have a relationship with him. And the fact that he's one God and we come to the knowledge that he's one God has to deal with the fact that we are a people that have been called out. We are a people who have been separated from our Egypt, cleansed by his blood, redeemed from the great transgression, and now we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but now we're saints and we're heirs with Jacob, right, of this great inheritance called salvation and the atonement and glory that is yet to come. All of this has come upon us, and this is who we are. And this message is a result of who we are. I know I've said these things before, but they're important. They're important to seeing this. That's what I'm trying to say. In my quest, in my early years, a couple days ago, in wanting to know who is God, because I was raised a Catholic, I was taught all my life that it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three in one. And it wasn't until I came to the truth and I was hearing preaching that was something different. And then I was reading verses for the first time, really getting into the Bible for the first time, extensively, not just in a catechism class every Thursday afternoon, 1 hour. Those things that were ingrained in me, I started discovering scripturally, they're not there. There is something there, but it's not quite like I was taught. But see, I had a problem. And I had something just stamped into me that I heard for 14 years of my life. That's all I knew religiously. I mean, when I came here, I heard of other stuff. And, you know, back home, we'd watch the 700 Club once in a while. My mom watched that. I didn't know really what it was all about. I heard of the renewal movement, the charismatic movement happening within the Catholic Church at that time from my dad and others that we knew in the family who began to receive the Holy Ghost inside of the Catholic Church. And we're seeing miracles and people delivered of devils. And so good things were happening. And there were missionaries coming in off the fields who were kind of beyond Catholicism. They were out there risking their lives. And in their prayer meetings, they were finding God was filling these people with the Holy Ghost. And they would come back to America to say, there's some more stuff we need to know. And so all this was happening. That's about all I knew, but I never gravitated to it until I came here. So my quest was to know God. I wanted to know. I wanted, because I had those moments in times past when I was not converted and I prayed and I didn't know how to pray. Should I pray to God the Father or should I pray to the Son? And so I just shot for the middle, you know, and prayed to Jesus. But I didn't have any understanding. You know, my understanding was unfruitful. I didn't know who God was. So in study, I learned along the way, I'm saying all this to say, I learned that one of the best things that I could do in order to begin to discover who he is and allow God to open up my understanding was to do my very best that when I came to the study, when I came to prayer, was to let go of what I had been taught and to stop bringing it with me to the study so that that's all I was seeing when I'd read certain verses of scripture, because I had to get taught by the Lord, stop finding the verses that say it like you want it to say it. Right? John 10:30. I and my Father are one. See, Jesus is the Father. That's easy. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. That's easy. We can go to the verses of, you know, Isaiah 43:10 and 44 and 40, chapter 45 and 46, where it says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is none other God beside me. And those are easy, right? Malachi 2:10. Have we not one Father? Hath not one God created us? Ephesians 4, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's easy to jump to all of those and feel safe because they say it like we're supposed to believe it. Well, what about those other verses of scripture where everybody gets in trouble? The one God people and the people who don't know he's really one God. They believe he's one God, but how they explain it is not right. And then they fight and they debate amongst each other and they both look like idiots. And what they're both saying is we don't understand. So the one thing I would encourage you in your quest for God is number one, believe the word of God. I had to come to a place where I believed this, no matter how I'd been taught and raised. That I had to believe the word of God because I knew the word of God was right. After all, the scripture does say, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven, right? And heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So I knew that the Spirit of God was right. I knew that the word of God was right. And that what he had established and preserved for us to read was right. Even if I didn't understand it, I was going to, number one, believe the word. And it's a commandment to believe that the Lord our God is one. Now, others have taken that phrase and they've tried to add to it and explain it, and they have explained it incorrectly. So let's go back to Deuteronomy 6 for a moment, and I'm going to read it and make a few more comments here. Thank you, Jesus. Because I want to focus, go down the right pipe. I want to focus on the fact that it is written as these are the commandments, the statutes, something that is being passed into law, something spoken that God will judicially make a law, something that will be forever established, a statute. And the judgments, if you do right, it goes right. If you don't, it doesn't. And the consequences, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might to do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Part of the quarrel that I have in talking about who God is and talking about his eternal Godhead is the fact that some have turned it into a subject of animosity and debate, and they have postured minds against the Word of God before they even start talking about the Word of God. And this is what happens when we poise and we create phrases for ourselves like oneness or Trinity. All of a sudden, you have words created by man that are not in Scripture. Instead of just going to the Word sincerely and discovering who God really is. And that was the problem that Tertullian made 150 years after the apostles had walked the earth, when he, as a supposedly converted Greek philosopher, one of the Stoics that you read about in Acts 17, he tried in his epistles, and I've been reading them, and all the questions that I've ever had coming into the truth, being raised in Catholicism, came from that dude. Because I heard and I could hear his reasoning of Scriptures as he tried to explain his belief about the Father and the Son. And in his own words, he said, "I believe that they are separate persons." Jesus never taught that. He said, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." In the days of his flesh, he did say, "I and Father are one." He did say, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, that's not what Tertullian said. He said opposite to the Word of God. So he showed he did not have, even though he's the one who coined the word Trinity, he explained in his own writings that he did not understand the truth. He said, "I believe this," but his belief was wrong. The Scriptures are right, but his belief was wrong. But everything he reasoned, as I was reading the text, I thought, dear God, that's the same reasoning I had. See, when you believe a lie, you adopt the thinking of the lie, not realizing that it's a lie until you discover that it is a lie. And then you realize, and that's what happens. It just gets passed down from year to year, century to century, just like the truth does. Now, I'm not here to pick on anybody, and saying that God's not a Trinity is not creating sacrilege. It is simply saying that God is exactly what God says he is. Praise God. I'm not here to get ahead of myself, because there's so many entry points into this lesson, into talking about who God is and discovering for yourself with revelation who he is. There's more than one way to talk about it. There's more than one access point into the discussion. And the deeper you go, the more beautiful it gets. And the more your understanding is solidified. Because it's like a puzzle. You ever put together a puzzle? You ever notice that the puzzle pieces themselves either have an indentation or a hook? You know, it connects to another and another, right? And that's the way the Word of God is. So you can find your favorite Bible verses that make you feel comfortable in your one God belief. And you're right, he is one God. We are a monotheistic people. And those that come against us in the theological realm and say, yourself, why don't you just go somewhere and just somebody else. We are a monotheistic people. We are a one God people. Because God said he's a one God God. He didn't need any explanation beyond that. He said, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I am the Lord, there's none like me. There's none beside me. There is no other God beside me. I am God, and there is none else." So we don't need to take and say, right, he's this, but it's this in this. No, it's this, and that's it. Praise the Lord. God's a spirit, God's not a man. So there's all sorts of verses of Scripture you have to deal with in order to make what you want to believe about God correct. And when people try to still make, there's so much to say, I don't want to get ahead of this particular, so I got to stick with it. But when you try to make God something that he isn't, you show that you don't understand the Word and you're unskillful in the Word. And before you talk to people that do know, do your best to come with the right spirit, because you'll get entangled real, real quick. The more you know, the more you discover, the more you'll understand why I say things like, I will never, if I can help it, debate a Trinitarian. Because I'll feel like a bully. Now, if they want to fight against us and rise against us, we'll give an answer to the truth. That's not a debate. That's just an answer, even if it's a strong one. But to those that want to know and are hungry for the truth, we'll teach the truth. A little here and a little there, line upon line and precept upon precept. So I'm starting here because I think it's important for us to realize that this is a commandment. It's not just something to believe. It's actually a commandment that he is one God. And I think that's pretty powerful that we realize that he's saying in the land that you go to possess it, verse 1, that you might, I'm commanding these things to you that you might do them in the land where you go to possess, that you might fear the Lord to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you, your son, your son's son, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Isn't that amazing that believing and embracing the truth prolongs your days? It's health to all your flesh. Isn't that what the scripture teaches us in Proverbs, right? It's health to all your flesh. Look, even if you don't understand how he's not three in one, but that the Father, the Word, and the Spirit are one, not in one, are one. Even when you believe it, it'll be better for you to believe the truth when you don't understand the truth than it is to quarrel against believing the truth and believing what you want to believe. It'll be healthier to your soul to believe God, even if you don't understand God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that believing will open up your soul for the revelation to come to you of who he really is, and you'll understand it. It won't be such a mystery, the mystery of God, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father. All of that will begin to make sense when we begin to break bread and open up the Word and go into individual. I'm going to do my very best with the help of the Lord in services to come to talk about these things, and we're going to find various access points, and we're not going to be afraid of any scripture. We're going to find the toughest ones that you don't understand, and we're going to preach and teach from them. And let God help you understand the Word of God. That you might fear the Lord. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you all, and that you might increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Praise God. There's so many people that have heard Pastor preach messages like this, and he could preach it a whole lot stronger in many particular cases. But they refuse to do it. They refuse to embrace it. They refuse to believe it. They wanted to hold on to their tradition because that's what they were taught all their life, and that's what grandma believed, and that's what I'm going to believe. Look, number one, if grandma's dead, if gramps is dead, if everybody else is dead but you're alive, it's no longer about them. It's about you. You can't stop them from going to heaven, and you can't make them go to hell, however you feel that they made it or they didn't make it based upon what you're hearing. This isn't about dead people. This is about live people. It's about you. You're the one listening, not them. So never use others for an excuse to not embrace the truth. But instead of increasing mightily, instead of having their days prolonged, instead of being blessed by God, because they rejected, they found themselves being degraded, and many of them not living very good lifestyles after that. Praise God. So hear, therefore, and observe to do it. Verse 4 here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isn't that amazing? He took Israel out of a nation that was idolatrous. And they learned these idolatrous ways. They had learned about all the gods of Egypt and all the false gods and all the ways of worship. And they remember what the Lord said when he brought them out of Egypt. One of the things he was doing was delivering Israel, and the other thing he was doing was judging them and bringing upon those plagues because of their idolatry. And one of the things written in Exodus was a very blatant statement when he referenced their false gods. He said, I am the Lord. It's exactly what he said. He said, I'm judging them. I'm the Lord. He takes it personal when other things exalt themselves and say, I am God. I'm God. Look what he did to Satan. When Satan looked too much in the mirror, took too many selfies, all of a sudden, he was out of there. Why? Because Satan said, I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be God. And then Jesus, later in the days of his flesh, said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. There's only one who could behold that. Hallelujah. Only one could behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and that was the one who kicked him out. And he can say it that way even though he had a veil of flesh, praise God, if you will, over him. God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There's more than a man saying, I saw. It wasn't the man that said, I saw. You know, it wasn't the flesh that saw him leave. It was the one who cast him out. Praise God. God's so good. There's so much to say. I'm going to try to just stay on track here. But he takes it personal. That was my point. He said, I am the Lord. So there's no other God but one God. It was a Greek philosopher who could not understand how God could be in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And he's the one who created the idea of persons in the Godhead. A stumbling block to many, including myself, before revelation came. The Lord our God is one Lord. So it's a commandment. And the reason why I'm lingering on this and starting this is because I want you to see how personal it is to God and to you that we understand he is one God. He took a people for his name's sake and baptized them unto Moses in the cloud and the sea and separated them with a mighty hand for his name's sake, a people that he would be their God, they would be his people. He took them out of idolatry just like he took us out of idolatry. And amongst all things that were once gods to us, and inside of this kingdom, the lesson is, number one, I am one. Yeah. Hallelujah. No other gods beside me. I am one. That's a personal statement to you saying, make sure you have no other gods in your life but one God. And that's me. I am the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You don't get any more one God than that. I'm not filled with the third person of anybody's Trinity. I am filled with the Spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. And these are just things that people overlook because, again, because when something's planted in you so long, they can't look past. It's kind of like somebody who has been baptized with some, repeating Matthew 28, they can't see because they think they're baptized. They can't see what we're saying until it starts to click like it did for Carolyn's grandmother. Pastor preached a message one night. We went home Sunday, sitting there eating dinner, and Granny brought it up. Why? Something started clicking in that woman's mind. She said, I was baptized, and that was set over me. And I remember her leaning on the table, and she said, now, say this again. And we started pointing to that name. And all of a sudden, she started seeing the name. And she started realizing that it wasn't something to be repeated, it was something to be performed. And that little Baptist woman said, well, I want to make sure I do it right, because we were going from Matthew 28 to Acts 2:38. And we explained to her, these two verses say the same thing. One's not a Trinitarian formula for baptism, and the other one's not a oneness formula for baptism. Both are one God water baptism scriptures. Because in that day there shall be one Lord, one shepherd, and his name one. And neither is there salvation in any other name. The name of Jesus is the name of the everlasting Father, according to Isaiah 9 and 6. Like I said, there are many entry points that will just teach you all by themselves, even if we're talking about the name of God, will teach you that God is one. And in her 80s, Pastor baptized that woman in Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You're never too old to get revelation from God. God knows how to pressure buttons. He knows how to open up your understanding. He knows how to explain himself so that scriptures unfold to you as you begin to read them. I'm so glad for the word of God. Amen. So it is a commandment that he is one God. Now, Tertullian broke the commandment of the Lord. He taught that there were three in one. Now, I don't know what circle called Christianity he got around, but he got around the wrong one. Hallelujah. And did not adhere to the word of God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Give me a few more minutes here. I'm just trying to just start something here, if I can. He's saying to his people, he's talking to his people, and this is the things I'm trying to express here. He's not just talking to any old buddy. He's talking to a people he has redeemed to himself, that he is taking who spent 430 years under Egyptian control. They learned Egyptian ways. We know that by the wilderness experience. Moses goes up into the Mount of God where the commandments are being established in stone. And what did they do? They think he's dead after 40 days. And they create a golden calf and they worship and they're committing fornication. They go back to just being Egyptians. So part of learning that he's one God is a part of your salvation. It's a part of separation from the world. So it's just deeper. It's deeper than just knowing that he's one God. It's about serving him. It's about walking with him. It's about knowing him. It's about knowing that he's one God and why he's one God. And all the things that are about this one God, especially the fact that he hates idolatry. And he wants to be the only one God in your life. He does not want to be a three-in-one concept in your head. He wants to be, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." So I'm going to say it like this. Not that he's coming against his own word, but what he'll say to us is, "I am not Father God, Son God, Holy Ghost God in one God. I am one God. I am God who is manifest in the flesh, so that I could pour out my spirit upon you." That's a simple one God message. And he never changed from being one all that time. Praise the Lord. It took one God to raise up Christ from the dead. God didn't die at Calvary. The man Christ Jesus died at Calvary. Not the spirit of Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. So that God judicially could save mankind, because it took the death of a man to save mankind. It took the shedding of man's blood. Hallelujah. God knew that. Man, there's so much. God knew that in order to save man, he chose not to take on the nature of angels, but to take on him the form of a man, the seed of Abraham, that he might be faithful unto all of us, and that he partook of flesh and blood, and then took that one thing that failed him and nailed it to a cross, and then overcome the death that he passed upon all men. Sin brought death, but it was God that allowed man to die. And it was also God who overcame the same death. Yes. Praise God. It wasn't another God. It was God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It was God that made man, who now was manifesting the scriptures. I'm not saying anything that's off the cuff from somebody's dumb book. This book, and it's not a dumb book. It says God was manifest in the flesh. It says that God was justified in the spirit. It says that God was seen of angels. It said that God was received up into glory. You may not understand it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. God, one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and that one ascended into glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's so good. Praise God, praise God. Let's love him some more. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So I'm trying to be real simple here, and I know I'm, because it's easy to do. Just there's 1,001 things, but that's what I'm saying. One of these days I'm going to get a table, and I'm going to dump a 1,000-piece puzzle on the table, just so I can show you puzzle pieces and how they all go together. That's the Word of God. You know, I used to take notes when I was first searching this subject out. I intensively wrote. 2-3 years later, I would look at those notes and say, wrong, wrong, wrong. cross it off, cross it off. Because understanding came. And as years pass, understanding from God comes. And what you begin to see, it's kind of like seeing a star. There are some stars that they're dim, and you see it, but then there are others that are bright. And that's kind of the Word of God. Like the Word of God, sometimes when you begin to see it, you know something's there, but it's not quite in the view. But then God brings you to a telescope, and all of a sudden you see it. I mean, like you really see it. You see the surface. You see the moons. You see the atmosphere. You get what I'm saying? He takes you there as you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember, it was Peter, after the Lord said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're this. But who do you say that I am?" The reason why he asked was because he was looking for somebody who wanted to know. And Peter, by revelation, and here's where some fall off the bandwagon because they don't believe it takes revelation. They can just study with their carnal thinking and their unregenerated mind to figure out God. It doesn't work. So when Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father, which is in heaven." And coming to a close, we're going to talk about all those verses, because when you get raised believing that there are three separate persons, when you hear statements like that, it brings to your mind what you were taught. And instantly, if you're not careful, your mind will go to separate, my Father. So it's Father, and then there's Son, and then there's the mystery spirit that's somewhere. Don't know much about him, but whenever he's needed, he shows up. Now, come on, the Word of God's a little deeper than that. I mean, you think God's going to be that shallow in his interpretation of the Word? But again, these are the things. See, when I started studying Scripture, I was doing that. I was going to those Scriptures that said it because it says it. And then God began to say, why do you keep going back to the same verses that say it like you want to hear it? They're there, but there's a whole lot more here. Don't dodge the ones that are confusing you, that you can't figure out. So I go to them. I go to all of them. And the Lord just opens understanding, and you begin to see even the salutations of the epistles possess so much understanding in the Word of God that can help just continue to expand who he is and how he did what he did. And then at the end of the day, you realize he's one Lord. Amen? And that he's not another. Praise God. God's so good. Let me see how to end this particular part of this. So what I'm stressing tonight in 45 minutes, so sorry, is that this is a commandment. The first commandment, and the reason why I read Mark 12 was because Jesus answered the question. Let me just put these away instead of putting them on and off. It was expressed, what is the first commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And it had no interpretation. Tertullian did not even exist. He wasn't even born. Nobody had ever heard of the Latin word Trinitas. It had not been invented. The apostles never learned it. They never knew it. They were Jews, number one. They were raised with, we serve a spirit who is one who fills heaven and earth. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Isaiah 66 and verse 1. This is why the Jews quarreled with the Lord in the days of his flesh, because you, being a man, makest yourself God. That's what they were saying. And they knew they were one God people. Praise God. But I wanted to read because even Jesus, he expressed that it's a commandment. The first commandment is, I am one. And so I'm simply here to say to you two things mainly tonight with all that I've been saying. Believe the Word of God and take it as a commandment. That's the first step. A commandment coming from God, no matter what you were raised to believe. God said he's one. John 4:24 says God is a spirit. God is not a man. Numbers 23:19, 1 Samuel 15:29, it was repeated again by Samuel to Saul. That God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So that raises lots of questions about the man Christ Jesus. God is not a man. Even Paul testified that though he was in the form of a man, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. The Spirit not being given by measure unto him. But yet as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the purpose of God, which was the cross. Why he came. Only one. Remember what he said in Isaiah 63. I saw that there was none to help. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. Isaiah 53. Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord? That which came out from God. The demonstration of the right hand of God. The power of God. Jesus, both the power and the wisdom of God. Paul wrote in Corinthians. That which came out from God. So believe the word of God. That's the first step. Number two, when you come to the word of God to really search out who God is, forget those things which you've learned. Put them aside and come with an open book, an open heart, and an open mind and say, Lord, just teach me. Teach me your way. Teach me your way. That's what I said. In my own way, I said, Lord, if you're one God, I want to know. Because I was raised like this, believing like this, and I see, and I just don't understand. These are the conversations I had many, many years ago, and just being open and honest with God to say, Lord, I'm not here to try to figure you out. I need you to help me. I need you to figure it out for me and open up my understanding because I don't want to avoid scriptures that don't say it like I think they should say it. When I know they say exactly what they need to say the way they're said it, right? The way they are written. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I think I'm going to close here. I want to preach everything else, but I can't in 10 minutes. Praise God. But I just wanted to start because I think it's important for people when they're starting on a subject, and we're going to talk about Father, we're going to talk about Son, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost, we're going to talk about those titles. And we're going to talk about various other entry points into this topic so that you understand why we preach what we preach here, why we baptize in Jesus' name, why we believe in being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, why we do not believe that God is triune. Doesn't matter what mainstream religion says. People can't get it wrong. And they've had 2,000 years to get it wrong. Jesus said there will be false Christs and false teachers and false prophets. I'm not hating anybody. I'm not slamming anybody. But I'm saying there's a whole lot of people who need to know what we do know. And we'll never reach them if we can't reach them in the right spirit. And I want to do so. But at the same time, we have to teach it correctly, regardless of how they feel about it. And we want people to understand why we're stressing so much and what the big deal is about water baptism in Jesus' name as well. And the scriptures teach it, right? Ephesians 4, one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. And it's not one Lord based upon how they say it. It's one Lord based upon how he sees it. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. 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 Hope this made sense tonight. Praise God. I hope you see it a little bit differently, maybe a little deeper, how important it is to God. He does not want anybody worshiping him as a triune deity. He hates that doctrine. He is one God, and he doesn't want your understanding to be unfruitful. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. God, open up our understanding. God, touch every sincere heart that wants to know you. God, let your word just unravel itself to them. Reveal yourself to babes that are hungry for the truth. Praise God, and help us to overcome the wicked one. Help us to overcome false prophets and teachers and antichrist spirits and doctrines that God have tried to change the Godhead into something that it shouldn't be. Hallelujah. Let your revelation of your name come and your mighty power come and a life of godliness to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening. If it sounds like I bumbled around, it's because I did. But if you can at least take two things away from this tonight, it is, number one, believe the word of God. And I read it for you just in two verses, but referenced other passages that you could read too. Believe the word of God, number one, that he is one God. He said it for himself. So whatever he meant by that is the truth. Number two, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm using that verse in Philippians 3 to express what it means. Put out of your mind how you were raised, what you believe. I know it's easier said than done, but if you or I are going to learn the word of God, and we find that there's something that we were raised believing that wasn't the truth, I can't allow that to affect my ability to learn by bringing it with me every time I open the book. We can forget. We can work. We have the ability to not allow something to hinder us and put it aside and come before the Lord with a humble mind and attitude to say, Lord, who art thou? Isn't that what Saul said? He was a Jew. He thought he was doing God a service by destroying people like you and me, who he thought was this weird sect of the Jewish religion. He said, no, I'm going to stamp it off the face of the earth in the name of Jehovah God, who's Yahweh, who's Elohim, who is Adonai, who is the one true and living God who fills all things. A person can't fill all things. A person doesn't sit upon the circle of the earth. A person doesn't stretch out the heavens like a curtain. These are scriptures. This is what scripture says. God said, my hands have made all these things. It's an expression of, it's his word. He made all things by the power of his word. That's not a human being. It is one God. And Saul said, Lord, after God knocked him to the earth, he said, Lord, who are you? And that one true God said, I am Jesus. He didn't say, I'm the second person. He said, I am Jesus, that one God. He said, Jehovah, who are you? Jehovah said, I'm Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the word. And that's what I'm saying. So the first step for any of us is just to believe the word, even if you don't get it all. I mean, right. I mean, it's a lifetime of learning. But if we want to overcome what we were taught somewhere that wasn't right, then we can at least start by believing the word of God. And if I can believe that, and the next time I come, see, this is where people make so many mistakes. They sit on pews and they have in their brain what they know, what they think they know, what I believe. I believe, like, who cares what you believe about God? I need to believe what God believes about God. Because if I believe what I believe about God, it may not be right. If it's not right, I have no power anyway. But if I believe like he believes, then it's full of power. Amen. It's full of might. It's full of revelation. And it's full of understanding. Amen? Amen? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, God. Well, God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord.